Welcome back to another session of the Thursday evening Musa Shir, and we're on Daf Chaf in Erech HaSadikim. We are continuing in Shar HaGaiv. Gentlemen, tonight we are going to be introduced to a new weapon in the arsenal of he who tries to get us to sin. You may think that I'm referring to the Yetzer Hara. Yes, until now we have been referring to the Yetzer Hara, and that's generally known as the great weapon of sin. However, believe it or not, there are two Yetzer Haras. Until now we were talking about the regular Yetzer Hara. Now we're going to be introduced, as they say in Yiddish, the Frumme Yetzer Hara. The Frumme Yetzer Hara. That means the Yetzer Hara that tries to paint a picture of piety in our minds, and if we do such and such, which are obviously going to be sinful, then we will think that we're doing the right thing. So he's referred to as the Frumme Yetzer Hara. So on Daf Chaf, on the top of the page, Daf Chaf. Achar Kach, afterwards, meaning after the Yetzer Hara fails in trying to get us to sin in his normal fashion, after he tries that, Achar Kach Yisischa HaYetzer, the Yetzer Hara will entice us, Legalos Chasiduscha Masecha HaTobim Lufnei Ha'am. He entices us to reveal our piety and our wonderful deeds publicly in front of all. Umevi Raya, and he doesn't just lecture to us, this Yetzer Hara, this Frumme Yetzer Hara, but he even brings proof to the fact that he is correct. And this is what he says. Ulai Yasu Gamheim Kamocha. That you should do such and such. You should reveal your piety. You should, you know, we're talking about the Gaiva here, of course. And until now we were saying how a person has to act in a humble fashion and not to show off or not to sort of give anybody the impression that he's doing what's right. Just do your own thing, so to speak. Now the Frumme Yetzer Hara says, nah, let people know about it. Do it publicly. Everything, all the religious things that you do, do it publicly, because maybe you'll be lucky and people will see it and they will follow suit. So imagine how much you could accomplish in this manner. You can get everybody to do the right thing. It's fantastic. V'gamze nimshach min agavos. He says, Or Chasadikim says, this is a sort of branch from Gaiva. Afal pisha matzino kama gadolim shenishtabchu. Even though we do find in Chazal, we find many gedolim, great people, who are praised. Heim lo asu, ella lefnei tamideihem v'chaveirehem. The only time they sort of showed off, quote unquote, is only in the presence of their students, in the presence of their friends, k'deisha yimashchu acharehem, so that those talmidim will be drawn towards them, v'yispesu ma'aseihem, and they will grab on to their actions, their same ways. V'adai zeh mitzvah, certainly if it's done in that manner, it's a mitzvah, k'dei l'chavev aleihem ma'asim tovim, in order so that the ma'asim tovim, good deeds, will become beloved to these people. Now, they didn't show off. I said, quote unquote, show off. I'll give you an example of this. There's a Gemara there, Megillah, that is quoted here, that we just quoted in the Orchos Adikim, tells about Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who asks Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha the reason for his longevity. Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha lived a very long life. And Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi asked him, what do you attribute your longevity to? So, the question was sort of like, you know, why is he asking this? And the Gemara explains he was asking this because he said, Torah hiva lumod ani tzorach. It's Torah, and I need to learn why. Anything that relates to Torah, I have to know. So I want to know what you attribute your longevity to, because Torah, it's Torah, and I lumod ani tzorach. I have to learn about it. So it was obvious from... It comes out, gentlemen, that it was obvious from Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha's actions that it was Torah related. This is the Marshal explains. If Rabbi is asking him the reason why he lived so long, and he is saying that the reason why he wants to know because it's Torah and Torah I have to learn, so obviously the Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha's longevity and what he did during his life was Torah related, because otherwise Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi would never have said, I have to know it because it's Torah. What does it have to do with Torah? Obviously, it has to do with Torah. So are you going to tell me Rabbi Shua ben Karcha is bragging? You can say Rabbi Shua ben Karcha is showing off, that he's living a long life? No. If you do something in order that someone will learn a Torah concept, then that's fine. But he'll explain further. He'll explain, it's still not 100% clear. Vafilu bifnei elu. And then he qualifies, or Chassadikim qualifies it. Even in the presence of these people, meaning the students and the friends, lo yehana velibo, he should not have benefit in his heart, he shouldn't have hano in his heart, be omro, when he says, if he makes a statement, ze ani yodea o ze ani ose, this I know, and this I do. In other words, if Rabbi is asking Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, why did you live so long? As he's giving the explanation why he lived so long, he shouldn't feel a sense of hano, I am so great, because I did such and such, and therefore I lived a long life. This I know, and this I do. He shouldn't have that sense of gaiva, of haughtiness. Now, in other words, even the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lotzata, the Mesil Shesharim, says in Perek Chav Beis, in the Mesil Shesharim, he says, even a Talmud Chacham shouldn't have gaiva, but he should feel he's fulfilling the dictates of the nature, just like it is natural for a bird to fly. Talmud Chacham, who is a Talmud Chacham because he learned a lot of Torah, nothing to brag about, because you're doing exactly what you were meant to do. Imagine a bird would be able to talk, and a bird would say, "Ha, hear ye, look at me, I can fly." So big deal. That's right, you were made with wings and you were made to fly. So the Talmud Chacham shouldn't brag about the fact that he knows Torah. Like, all right, what's new? That's exactly what you were put on this world for. That's what you're supposed to be doing. Let's continue. And again, this is only in front of Talmidim and friends. Aval ufnei olam, but a public demonstration. Be'emes asu lagalos lahem. Certainly a person should not reveal. Gam in teilech ba'anova. And even one step further, even if a person conducts himself with humility, and he stands along Shmon Esrei, and he's very diligent in his learning, the Yetzirah again, the Fruma Yetzirah, will seduce the person to brag. And the Yetzirah will say to him, Ata now, Haroa Moschob b'nei Adam. You know, people who are looking at you learn, and people are seeing you daven, and they will consider you important, they will honor you, because of your good deeds. And you know, there's a great benefit from this. Why? Since you are chashuv, you're important in their eyes, and they will accept your musar, your reprimand, and your rebuke. Kol zehevel, Yor Chassadikim says, this is all silliness. Ki ba'asoscha ma'asim ato ma'asei ato, ta'aseu l'shem aborei baruchu levado. When a person learns with diligence, when a person davens along Shmon Esrei, he should do it for one reason and one reason only. He does it for the sake of Hashem. V'divrei tochachtucha yekayis kablu b'vnei ha'olam. And your words of reprimand will be accepted by the world. Gam im lo tachshavka. Even if you're not doing it for that sake, it's not in your mind, it's the furthest thing from your mind. You're doing it because you're doing it. You're serving Hashem. I'm learning Torah. I dress like a mensch. I say a nice Devar Torah. I'm diligent in my learning. Not because other people should see me. I'm doing it because I'm doing it for Hashem. And the fact that, people will see me, he says, that's not my business. Ki ein kabolas atochecha teluya b'machshvosecha. He says the fact that people will accept your reprimand has absolutely nothing to do with your thoughts as you were doing what you did. And I'll give you an example of this. Years ago, a rabbi Yoshua Fink, who was a Musmuch Chovetz Chaim Yeshiva, who was the Rav of the Young Israel Bedford Bay in Brooklyn, he told me something amazing. And he was in the Rabbonis for, I don't remember exactly, probably close to 50 years. And he told me something which at that time was astounding to me. He said, 1% of the influence I have over my Balabatim is the drasha from the pulpit. 99% are my actions. How they see I act. Imagine. You think to yourself, what do you mean, the rabbi's speech, the drasha, you prepare so much, and you have everyone sitting quietly, all the people, and then you figure that's the greatest influence. He was speaking from his experience, 1% of the influence comes from the drasha. 99% is how they see you conduct yourself, how you mensch, are you practicing what you preach? So, what the Aruch HaTzaddikim is basically telling us, don't have thoughts of influencing people when you're doing what you do. Just do what you have to do. You're doing it L'shem Shemayim, you're doing it for the sake of Hashem. You never know what the result of it could be. I had an amazing maisa happen. I know myself, I was a visiting rabbi, if you will. I was a visiting rabbi somewhere. And of course, I get up for the drush on Shabbos. And it happened to be the parsha of the week dealt with the halachas and the issues of Shabbos. So I was talking about Shabbos and the beauty of Shabbos, and I told the Maisa about Shabbos, Chofetz Chaim about Shabbos, and the importance of keeping the Lamedes Melachos, and so on and so forth. Fine, the drasha ended, we davened Musaf, Shabbos was over. I went home. I didn't think twice about it. It must have been, I would say, 3 or 4 years later. I happened to meet a person from that shul, and says to me, I never told you this, but you visited our shul and you spoke about 4 years ago, and you spoke about the importance and the beauty of Shabbos. I want to tell you that day I made a commitment to myself to keep Shabbos from then on. And since then, for the last 4 years, I've been keeping Shabbos. And now I'm ready for the next step. I want to begin keeping a kosher home. And I'd like to ask you if you'd please come to my house and help me kasher my house. Kasher my kitchen. No. The furthest thing from my mind, first of all, I didn't even know that people sitting in shul that day were not Shomer Shabbos. That there was anyone sitting there who already wasn't Shomer Shabbos. And here it is, and I just say, you don't think in those terms. So here you give a simple drush. I did, you know, what I was asked to do. And 4 years goes by, and I find this out. So the furthest thing from your mind. So, okay, let's continue the next paragraph. Achare, he's not finished. He's not finished the frumi yetzahara. The achare tesalik mikolzeh, and after he's finishes with all that, yisischo hayetzah v'yomelacha. Again, he tries to entice us, to seduce us. Lo yitochin shetia avodoscha b'lev sholim. He says, the truth of the matter is, he says to us, your service to Hashem really is not full-hearted. Ashet tesrachik min agayva legamrei. Until you run away and escape from gaiva to the nth degree. Kigon, he gives you an example. Shetechase ma'asecha atovim. You have to cover up any good deed you ever do. Cover it up. Don't let anybody see. U'laharos hipuch mimasha hayakva b'libcha. And you have to show people just the opposite of being a nice guy. You have to show people that you're not a nice guy because you don't want to become a baal gaiva. People should think you're nice. You're showing off. And you don't want it to go to your head that people are seeing you do good things. So he says, and you have to give it the impression, you have to manifest the opposite what was in your heart. Tispal el katzor, when you're davening Shmon Esrei, make it in 30 seconds. Instead of davening along Shmon Esrei, you know, davening along Shmon Esrei, you know that people are watching you davening along Shmon Esrei, you become a Baal Gaiva. So daven 30 seconds. And if you ever want to study some Torah, don't dare do it if anybody's watching. Tisyached, go alone in a room somewhere, hide under the blankets. This way only God will know. Wow, it's great for your gaiva. This is fantastic. You'll be become such a humble person. And furthermore, v'lo seira b'chashum mida tova, never show any kind of good midah, ach teiro ha'atzlus b'masi avoda, anything you end up doing, it do it as a lazy do, show that you're a lackadaisical, you know, kadesh lo yetzei l'cha shem, because if you do things properly, you're going to develop a reputation in town. If you get a reputation of being a good guy, v'tafsit z'charcha, you're going to lose all the reward that's coming to you from Hashem. You know, he's not going to reward you because you're getting it all in this world. People are, you know, people think you're a great guy. V'lo yitetzav el atov, never instruct anybody to do what's good. V'al tazim en arav, if you see someone making a mistake, never correct them. V'al todia chachmoscha, don't ever show your knowledge. V'al talamdo l'ish zuloscha, and never teach any other person. Just do for yourself, because if you share any of your knowledge with someone else, again, word will be on the street, hey, this guy knows his stuff. Gaiva, gaiva. Look what he says further. V'lo tare simen yirei shamayim v'lo os. Don't give any kind of glimpse, any sign at all that you are a God-fearing person. Kagon tefillin mezuzah v'tzitzis. God forbid, no one should ever see you wearing tefillin. Oh, this guy wears tefillin. Oh, chashuv person. Mezuzah on his door. Tzitzis he wears. Wow, not everybody wears tzitzis. He wears tzitzis. Elitis naig bik and bimin hagam. You conduct yourself like everybody else. V'teilech b'darcheihem, and go in their ways. V'tiyem oravim mohem, and mix with them. B'machal, in their eating. Over mishten, their drinking. Over chedva, in their joyous ways. In their company. Over mosri hadvarim. Over rov haschok. You know, become a leidegeya. You know what a leidegeya is? Just hanging around, shooting the breeze. You know, everyone else is doing that also. You don't want to stand out in the crowd, God forbid, because hey, you know, you don't want to lose your schar. Dor Chasadikim says, "Kol zem inyani hayetzer." This is all the tricks of the Yetzer Lilko b'nei Adam Barishto to capture the people in his net. V'osa inyan zel shem mitzvah. And if a person thinks he's doing it, and he's doing it for the sake of the mitzvah, so that he can be viewed as a humble person, as a no goodnik, hefseida elef alofim yosem ischaro. He's going to have 1,000 times more of a loss than any possible reward that he can ever get for acting in a secret manner. V'dome, he'll be compared l'boreach me'esh ketana le'esh gedola. You ever hear the phrase, it's like jumping from the fry pan into the fire? You're like jumping from the big fire, from the small fire, into the big fire. So what do? So how do you conduct yourself? So he gives us here the instructions. Ach derech hayashahu, the proper manner is as follows. She yispal b'kavana. You daven how you daven with kavana. Ba'arichos, and as long as you're used to davening, you daven. V'yitzav ala tov yazel armeira. And if you see someone doing something wrong in the nicest way possible, of course, you have to instruct them in the right path. V'yasakol atovos bagolei baseiser. And you have an opportunity to do a favor for somebody, you do it whether somebody will know about it or somebody won't know about it. You do. You don't make a difference if it gets out. V'im yichabduhu al ze bishabchuhu. And if by doing what you're doing, people will honor you and praise you, ein mazik lo b'scharo. You will not lose an iota of your reward. Don't worry about losing your olam haba for this. Achrei shelo kiven l'zeh b'shas ha'maisa, because that wasn't your intent. You meant to help the person carry a package because you wanted to help him carry the package, not because he should think you're a nice guy for carrying the package. L'chein, therefore, be'es asher tase masa hatov. When you're about to do something good, and here's the bottom line, gentlemen, and this applies to all of us. When you're about to do something good, tafchin bi'atzmecha, we have to contemplate to ourselves, mimi ata mekave hagmul, who do we intend and hope to get the reward from? Im in hakel, if our thoughts are with Hashem, hu shalem, then you know that you are doing things right. If your intention is somebody's going to see me, he's going to give me $100 for it, or somebody's going to put my name in the paper, or someone's going to praise me, if that's the intention, eino sholem, then the person is not a sholem, not a good person, or I should say not complete. Now this is what he's about to say now until the rest of the paragraph, gentlemen, is what we call a big yesod. A big foundation, a great foundation. V'gam tafchin, and also contemplate. Im zeh ha'maisa asher tase lefnei olam. this what you are doing publicly. Would you do the same thing behind closed doors as you're doing publicly? And if this is clear to you that this is the way I would daven if I'm in my house, I'm davening Long Shmoneh Esrei, and this is the way I would help around my house as I do publicly, and this is the way I conduct myself, this is the way I behave myself in my house just like I'm public, if this is what it is, then oz mascha shalom, then you know that your actions are good. Gentlemen, this is referred to intellectual honesty. A person has to be intellectually honest with himself. Am I putting on a show? When I'm in shul, I daven a 15-minute Shmoneh Esrei. I daven at home, 2 minutes, I'm over. When I'm in public, I put my tefillin on. I daven at home, come on. Maybe I put them on for a minute or two, take them off. So if I would do in my house the same good behavior as I do in public, then you know that. And I just want to share, if you allow me for a moment, to share two examples of this. There's a Gemara in Brachos Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph that says, Rabbi Akiva, the famous Rabbi Akiva, when he davened in shul, he was very concise in his davening, very short. When he davened at home, and I don't know when how that ever happened, but I guess there were times that he was alone when he davened. No minyan or raise, whatever the case, he was traveling. He was so, his involvement in his davening was so great, kolatz mosai meinat tomarna. You know, why do we shuckle during davening? We shuckle because kolatz mosai tomarna. All of my bones speak the praise of Hashem. So as a symbolism to that, we shake our body, we shuckle during davening. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Akiva was so involved in his davening that when he began his Shmoneh Esrei, he was on one side of the room, and by the time he finished Shmoneh Esrei, he was on the other side of the room. That's his involvement. But in public, I never saw it. Simple guy, simple Jew, daven Shmoneh Esrei like the rest of us. That's one example. And I'll tell you another example.
No one ever saw it.
Another example of this. And I heard this, let's see, I guess you can say it's a second hand or third hand. My Rebbe, Rav Henoch Leibowitz, his father was Rav David Leibowitz. His Rebbe, his father was Rav David Leibowitz. Rav David Leibowitz was a nephew of the Chafetz Chaim. He lived by the Chafetz Chaim for 2 years in his house. In fact, from the time I believe he was 15 years old until he was 17, or maybe 13 until 16, 2 years. In fact, the Chafetz Chaim who wrote the Mishneh Berurah, when he wrote the Hilcha Sukkah, he learned the Gemara Sukkah and prepared the halachas for the Mishneh Berurah Hilcha Sukkah with Rabbi David Leibowitz. They learned it together. But he lived in the house, basically. So listen to the Maisa. My Rebbe told me this Maisa. His father told him this Maisa that he saw by the Chofetz Chaim. He was living with him, and it came Tisha B'Av. What do you do Tisha B'Av? Everybody comes to shul at night, of course. You sit on the floor, and you say Eicha. Now, you look around the shul when people are saying Eicha. You know, it's sad. It's sad. You're sort of like, you know, if you know the translation of what we're saying, or if you know the meaning, or what it stands for, you know, it's upsetting. The Beis Hamikdash, destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, and the murder of so many Jews during that time, of course. Rabbi David Leibowitz was there as a teenager, and he's sitting next to the Chofetz Chaim saying Eicha, and the Chofetz Chaim is saying Eicha, like, you know, saying Eicha, like you and I say Eicha, just saying the words, and basically that was it. He was a bit surprised, sort of, like, you know, wow, this is the Chofetz Chaim, you would imagine. A little bit more, who knows what, some kind of, you would see some kind of display of emotion. Nothing. Shul is over, they go home. This Rav David Leibowitz, his bed was in the room where the Chofetz Chaim used to learn. Came home late at night, Chofetz Chaim sat down to learn. And Rav David Leibowitz, who was a youngster, right? He was getting late, he's going to sleep. And he puts his head on the bed, and again, it's in the same room when the Chofetz Chaim is sitting and learning. He noticed that the Chofetz Chaim keeps on peeking over to the bed, as if to see if he's sleeping yet. He keeps on, he's learning, and he peeks to see if he's sleeping. So this David Leibowitz is wondering, wait a second, why is the Chofetz Chaim looking at me to find out when I'm falling asleep? Got to be a reason. And I want to know the reason. So what did he do? He pretended as if he was sleeping. He faked it. Closed his eyes, started breathing heavily. And as soon as he did that, he heard the sounds. And then he opened his eyelids a little bit to look to see. And he saw the Chofetz Chaim began to moan and groan and cry. What he said, a flood of tears coming down his eyes, mourning over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So much so, it was such a display of tragedy. This Rav David Leibowitz said that he regretted doing it. He regretted pretending that he was sleeping to see, to witness such. It had such an impression. It was such a shaking experience that he regretted doing it to that point. Now, what's the point of the story? Well, you see, here in public, you would have seen the Chofetz Chaim. It looks like any other Jew saying Eicha. But at home, when quote unquote nobody is looking, like he thought nobody was looking there, that was the morning. The question is being asked that perhaps seeing the real actions of a gadol would have a positive effect on us. So why did the Chofetz Chaim do this? I can't say for sure. One day, Mirtz Hashem will ask the Chofetz Chaim, but I could guess that maybe the Chofetz Chaim felt that if he was going to do it in public, he really couldn't get into it the way he wanted to get into it. And what he would be doing would be a show, so to speak, or to some degree a show. And maybe even if it was one degree of show, he felt there was a lack of MS, that somebody is seeing me crying and, you know, they think I'm crying for this and I'm really crying because I'm trying to make an impression on them that I'm crying. So, you know, who knows? The little bit that I know about the Chofetz Chaim, I'm trying to imagine maybe perhaps that's why he hid his real true emotions, you know, in public. Finally, the next paragraph. Kol ma shesipano minyan yetzara eino ella ki imtipa bayam neged mashu chayiv lizarbo. The author says, what I have shared with you until this point is a drop in the ocean compared to how much care we have to have with this yetzara, the regular yetzara, the frumi yetzara. Ki b'chol davo b'chol maiso b'chol mida. Every single item, every single action, every mida, baha yetzahara lashachesh lakalkel yetzahara, shows up to destroy it, to ruin it. However, says the author, pasachnu pesach lodia inyan hayetzer, we've just opened up, you know, the opening to inform inyan yetzah lemish lo yeda tchilas terachav, for somebody out there who may not know how he gets the foot in the door. So we sort of wanted to give you a glimpse, a beware sign. Watch out. V'yachacham yovin v'mayer yilisalkehu mitocho. And the person who is wise will understand, and he will quickly try to remove the Yetzirah from his mists. U'tahar e'yadayim Yosef Ometz. And a person who has pure hands will add strength to what I've said. In other words, seeing others being exploited. This is a Mitzudas David explanation of this pasuk. When you see another person being exploited by the Yetzirah, it disgusts him. It makes him feel sick almost. That look what the Yetzirah does. This is the point we have to aspire to reach. Not only the Yetzirah, we have to get rid of the Yetzirah from our own midst, but our feelings of disgust for the Yetzirah have to be so strong that if we see him creeping into somebody else, it should make us feel terrible about it. Okay, gentlemen, maybe we'll end here, and Yitzhak Hashem, we will resume. Well, we're going to resume after Pesach, so we have a little vacation, I mean, of official Musa. Of course, everybody should continue learning Musa on their own, but Yitzhak Hashem, I wish everybody a chakosh v'sameach. And remember, gentlemen, dust is not chametz, and your wife is not an Eved Ivri. All right, we have to remember that. We have to be careful. And we wish everybody should be a should have a, some people say it should be Afreilich in Purim and Akosher in Pesach. But we're going to switch it around. We'll switch around just the opposite, because sometimes people get out of hand on Purim, so we wish them Akosher in Purim. It should be a Purim that's kosher. And some people get out of hand and they drive themselves crazy with cleaning for Pesach, with the chametz, and it makes the house filled with horror. So we wish their intentions, so we wish them a freilich in Pesach, a joyous Pesach. Okay, have a good evening, gentlemen.